Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. I'm not sure really Happy Wednesday applies, but...
It's cold out there. It's cold rain.
It's cold. It's rainy. It's dreary. It's like it's fall in Michigan, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's going to happen. We've been lucky so far.
That I suppose we have. But, yeah, I'm not exactly really thrilled about it by any means. But I guess, you know, this time of the year, these are the things that are going to...
We haven't had the S word yet, so I'm going to...
Well, the rumor is tonight or tomorrow.
Shut up.
I wish I were lying to you.
Isn't it great doing the weather? It's like the only report where people act like it's all your fault. That you see it on like the morning news. Thanks, Jim. You know, there was a major car crash. Four people died. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah, like I'm not even a meteorologist, and I get held personally responsible by Adam for what happens in the forecast. Like,
yep.
I'm just reading the stuff, man. I'm not.
It's your fault.
Do I look like a meteorologist to you? Because I am very most assuredly not.
You're barely a mixologist.
Well, no one would ever accuse me of that.
What's in an old fashioned dust?
I mean, also not entirely inaccurate.
Right.
So, it's something I feel like we have to kind of touch on just quickly off the jump here.
Sure.
It's, I mean, and I don't even know if it's really going to be that relevant of a thing to, because I'm honestly not sure where the Lions fandom comes down on it, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who are very not thrilled about a take on one of the hot take shows on the Great Value ESPN or FS1, whatever it is they're calling it these days, about your Detroit Football Lions. So yesterday on whatever their hot take shows are over there, this guy who looks like Great Value brand Hans Gruber was on Fox Sports 1 talking about the Lions and how they are apparently, you know, how they're not the best team in the league. And do I even want to... Yeah, we'll play the audio of this because it's just so stupid.
I don't think you can be the best team in the league when you have a civilian at quarterback.
Come on.
I can't say this team with Jared Goff at quarterback is better than the Chiefs or the Bills. I can't. I won't. In the modern NFL, I think it's very, very difficult to win three straight playoff games with a guy, even if he's a good guy, at quarterback. And that's what I feel they have. You can be mad. That's my opinion on the Lions.
I'm not going to be mad. I'm just, you're dead wrong. Like, what?
Well, at least somebody there was smart enough to ultimately say it. Like, I feel like Nick Wright should really be spending more time working on trying to blow up Nakatomi Plaza than offering these terrible, terrible takes of his.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I mean, am I wrong?
No. The guy looks like he's just really making a name for himself. He's saying, okay, everybody's talking positive about the Lions. Well, I need to get rid of this idea. I need to pile on this.
Well, also keep in mind here, there's a reason for that. Nick Wright's from Kansas City. He is a diehard Chief Slappy, like the slappiest of the Chief Slappies, in fact. So it's not really a surprise that he's coming to the full-throated defense of his precious Patrick Mahomes. But the irony there of calling Jared Goff a civilian at quarterback, given that if he is a civilian quarterback this season, what does that make Patrick Mahomes? Because last I checked, all of the big stats really that matter in the NFL, Jared Goff is outpacing Mahomes this season by a country mile.
Yep. He doesn't want to admit it.
Of course he doesn't want to admit it, because that's not what these guys do. Like he can't back down on all his takes about KC now, because of course he can't.
Nope.
But I mean, you look at it this year, Jared Goff, as far as, are these from this? Yeah. So, passing yards this year, Jared Goff is in the top 10, which, at last check, Patrick Mahomes can't say that about himself. Passing touchdowns, Jared Goff is fourth in the league behind Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. You know who barely makes the top 10? Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomie.
passes intercepted this season. Patrick Mahomes is tied for the league lead. Jared Goff is tied for fifth. What's that about? Who's a civilian quarterback exactly? Jared Goff has the second best passer rating in the league. Mahomes isn't even in the top 10 this year. Like, what are we doing? Like, quite, to be entirely honest here, touchdowns? Goff is far ahead of touchdown percentage. Currently, Jared Goff is second in the league, and where does Patrick Mahomes rate in touchdown percentage? Oh, scrolling. He's, 19th. 19th in the league.
Ooh, ouch.
Like, there's nothing here that really... Yards per attempt. No one has been better than Jared Goff this season. Pat Mahomes doesn't rank in the top 10. Pat Mahomes doesn't rank in the top 20. Once again, scrolling, 22nd in the league. But yeah, Jared Goff is the civilian quarterback. Good Lord.
Yeah, that's a pretty hot take. He knew it was pulling out of the oven, that it was hot. I would love to hear his definition of what a civilian quarterback is. What makes him a civilian quarterback? Is it because we haven't seen his name over and over and over for the last five seasons? Well, you've seen him for three.
Well, they haven't forced me to pay attention to him before.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about teams that aren't on a coast or that aren't Kansas City.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't spend that much time really ultimately getting worked up over great value Hans Gruber, but, you know, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. Like, because you see things like this and you blatantly know the guy's wrong. You can sit there like, this is the stupidest take I've heard today, and just, yeah. Like, I'll be honest with you, I know damn well that as it stands right now, the Lions are the best team in the league. No, who's right now going to prove otherwise on that? Lions don't take on the Bills until December. They won't see KC until potentially the Super Bowl. So I guess we won't have definitives on that until then. But I mean, it's not like they've exactly beaten nobodies this season. And the bad teams that they have beaten, they've taken them to the effing woodshed. They beat the Texans, who are a very good team. They beat the Packers, who are absolutely going to be a playoff team. The Rams might even be a playoff team at this point. It's really kind of hard to say. Like, the Seahawks, as of right now, I believe, are still in playoff contention. It's like they're not beating, just going out there and beating the trash of the league. I mean, when they do face the trash of the league, hi, Dallas, hi, Jacksonville. They are taking them out back and just laying a beat down on them. Oh, Tennessee as well. Can't forget them. But I think we're beyond the point where this isn't just a cute story anymore, man. This team is absolutely, you know, not only deserves to be taken seriously, but deserves to be treated as a real Super Bowl contender. And I know the pundits don't get that because they haven't ever been forced to confront a reality in which Detroit can make those claims and not get laughed out of the room. But it is now, so you may as well deal with it because it ain't going away anytime soon.
That's right.
Lot to do today. It is happy hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. You know what? I've decided I'm going to start just blaming other random people for the issues with our weather forecast. Okay. Solid State weather for the rest of this afternoon. Today, cloudy skies, plenty of periods of rain with a high of 40 tonight. Windy, rain mixing with a few flurries and snow showers overnight, with wind gusts possible of up to 40 miles an hour and a low of 34. Thanks, Adam.
You jackass. I did my snow dance, and it went well.
Cloudy tomorrow with a high of 40, increasing clouds with showers arriving sometime after midnight with a low of 31. Thanks a lot, Woody. Friday, cloudy with showers, higher winds to the west-northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour with higher gusts possible, the high of 45 and a low of 40. Anthony Lee, why? Why did you do this to us? Right now, 40 in Flint, 40 in the Tri-Cities, and 40 in lovely downtown Lapeer under way too much rain. Damn you, Schwabo. Here is Rancid at your local alternative Solid State Radio. The Struts at your local alternative Solid State Radio, and we're not really going to waste any time on Monday night's Red Wings game because it's, well, Monday night's Red Wings game.
Yeah.
But we do have an interesting, I don't even know if I'd call it, I don't know if this qualifies as a rumor per se, but something that is certainly interesting from the good folks over at Spit and Chicklets.
Okay.
A little bit of discussion about the Red Wings and some rumors of sort going on in that camp. I will just go ahead and play the audio, and thank God that we're not on terrestrial airwaves today, because I did not listen to this before playing it. So this is going to be fun. Strap yourselves in.
Is Detroit, I think that's the one that's going to drop first. I feel bad. I love that guy, Lalonde, good guy, but they expect more from that team. I think he's going to go, and I'm going to throw out a name that's going to probably shock you that's going to be in the running for that. It's Sergei Fedorov, Yzerman's old teammate. He was coaching in the KHL for a long time, so I could see him getting a look at some point over here.
Fresh from the KHL right to the NHL?
Yeah, it's Sergei Fedorov.
It's easily the biggest hire the Red Wings have had in, what, 20 years? This next one can't be a fuck-up, because then the Iser plan's getting looked at.
So that, per Matt Murley and one Paul Bissonnette on Spit and Chicklets, you heard it here first.
It is nasty.
What do you think? On both parts of that, on Lalonde being the next guy on the chopping block of the NHL, the next guy to go on the coaching carousel, and the possibility that number 91 could be coming home to replace him.
First things first.
He doesn't even know which order to do the things first.
No, I'm just so excited.
Apparently, we need to call Great Value Hans Gruber up on that. He can tell us, because that's what his show's called. That'll be fine.
Lalonde being the next
KC Chiefs first.
Lalonde first, getting fired next. I don't know about that, because anytime the Wings have ever moved away from a coach, they always wait till the end of the season. But he's definitely... It's obvious that it's not working. This team is not playing for him. I was able to watch some of that game against San Jose, or any of these games. They're lackluster. They didn't show up to play. They're scoring some goals. Marco Kasper has 2 goals, I believe, in his last 3 games. He's starting to look alive. Rasmussen's showing that he's actually alive, and you're getting something out of your first line. But that's it. End of list. All our goalies have just been seeming to have a really rough time keeping the puck out of the net. Defense has not been doing their job. They haven't been passing. They haven't been skating. And I think it starts I'm not one of those guys that is always ready to blame the guy behind the bench. But in this case, I think it's either him. Is it Tanguay, Alex Tanguay, who's in charge of the power play? I think he needs to be leaned on a little bit.
Well, I said the power play was one of the few things that has – so far this season been going relatively right for the Wings.
Then maybe I'm thinking of the penalty kill. I'm probably thinking of the penalty kill.
Like, even strength, this team's been pretty garbage.
Yeah. So I think, will Lalonde survive this season? I don't think so. Will he get fired in the middle? I don't think so. So that means, will he be the next coach? I don't think so. But the idea of Sergei Fedorov coming in as a coach, At first, I'm thinking it smells too much like Alan Trammell coming to manage the Tigers back when he did that. It was like the big name, and he did not do well.
Well, and there's multiple reasons for that. For what it's worth, by the way, the power play goal percent or power play percentage, 32% for the Wings, which is good for 3rd in the NHL.
I stand corrected. Thank you.
And 4th in the league in power play goals with 16. It's one of the very few things this team has done consistently well this season.
Then I stand corrected.
So as far as the Trammell thing goes, that was a situation where basically Randy Smith had decimated this team, traded off and stripped it of all of its assets and value, and Dave Dombrowski comes in knowing that this rebuild's going to take a hot minute. So they brought in Trammell to basically be the face of the thing.
A show pony.
Knowing that he was in a no-win situation, that there was nothing that man was going to be able to do to get that team to the playoffs because, I mean, who was your best starting pitcher at that point? Nate Cornejo? Like, you really didn't have a whole lot of anything on that team. Like, yeah, Bobby Higginson and maybe one other person who could have been a everyday player on another team. Like, you brought him in knowing that he was going to have to take that role as kind of the scapegoat of the organization just because it was going to take time to rebuild, and you wanted someone who was going to be, like, the public face of it who would actually be able to, they're not going to, complain about him. I mean, it's... You know, he's a local legend, you could argue they did when Yzerman got hired as GM here. Kind of like making him the public face of this thing to try and, soften people's opinion of all of it.
I see where you're going with this, but Yzerman had a proven track record with Tampa.
No, he did. No, you're absolutely right. And I'm not saying it wasn't a good hire, a great hire even. But I feel like there was some, like, okay, they'll give him more time and more patience because it is Steve Yzerman,
yes,
than they would have if we brought in, you know, insert other general manager here.
Don Sweeney.
Who, I don't know how he still has a job in Boston, but we'll get to that later.
I'm chomping at the bit. Fedorov, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know his coaching record. I know that he's been looked very favorably at the KHL. The KHL is not the NHL, but I mean,
no, but also
point taken.
To your point, isn't he the coach of the team in the KHL that is basically like Putin's favorite that gets all the breaks and like gets all the money to do all the things, and like they win every year because the league is basically rigged in their favor?
I believe so.
So I mean, there's that. I don't know what if it's going to be a direct translation at that point to coaching at an NHL level where you don't have necessarily a murderous dictator deciding what the outcomes of games are going to be. It's kind of hard to say.
Right. I think as much as I wouldn't...
Do I have to apologize to Vladimir Putin now?
No, not at all. Maybe Fedorov for us putting pretty... Put him in the same paragraph as Putin, but if Stevie was to make the announcement today that Lalonde is out, Fedorov's in, I would be pleased with that. I'd be fine with that.
I would too.
I'd be more pleased if he was sitting next to Igor Larionov.
Yes.
As a new coach. I had this discussion with some people on the Winged Wheel Facebook page. And,
well, that's your first mistake. You're attempting to reason with those
well,
people.
Well, I mean, a lot of them are like, well, okay, I see what you're saying, but I don't know. They're all still kind of hung up on Fedorov. And they have a point in that Igor Larionov is sometimes been accused of being too smart for everybody in the room. He knows what's in his head. He has a hard time translating it. A lot of people say they would never play chess with a guy because he thinks, you know, 10 moves ahead. He's just... smart. He might be too smart for the likes of the current NHL player.
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, yeah, he is absolutely like he's playing chess while the rest of the league's playing checkers. I don't know if necessarily too smart is going to be a thing. Like, I don't project him coming off of that smartest man in the room attitude, which
no.
Seeing you're the smartest man in the room and acting like the smartest man in the room and actually being, as we've learned here in another team in this town, are two completely different things. As we quite frankly learned from Ken Holland.
Mm-hmm. No, he would be the smartest man in the room. He might it might be a situation where he gets frustrated with his players because he has a plan and the other players are just not grasping onto it. He's not going to come in with a cockiness because Igor Larionov, we saw him play in Detroit for how long? I mean, and
yeah,
with and great three cups to his credit.
Well, I'm not,
but he's not. You know, he would be the smartest in there, but he wouldn't act cocky about it.
Right, and I believe that and accept that and entirely fine with it. But I don't necessarily think like our players are too stupid to grasp what he'd be putting down.
Maybe not.
I like to think not. I like to think, you know, that old Stevie's drafted a better caliber of a smarter caliber of player than that.
Well, you haven't seen it the last couple of games, have you? They lost to the San Jose Sharks.
Now the Sharks are pretty terrible.
Sharks are terrible. I mean, good on Jake Walman to be able to say, "Ha ha, yeah, you didn't like me, did you?"
I just really hoping he wasn't going to score an OT and get him another gritty.
I would have laughed. And laughed and laughed. I
might have cried.
I got up and watched that third period, and I'm like, oh God, no. Because I was like trying to sleep, but I messed my back up.
Way to go.
Yeah. But it's just sad. I mean, they're losing some really big. Well, actually, they're all big games. I mean, let's face it. They're every team in the NHL is equivalent to them or higher. So there are no gimme games.
I'd hope that might not be the case. And then I'll watch them blow onto San Jose and like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, they can't get shots on goal. I don't know if they're just waiting for, you know, the perfect shot. Don't worry about pretty ones. go for that rebound. The ugly ones look the same on the scoreboard as the pretty ones. I don't know if they're trying to get the highlight reel or if they don't have enough confidence in themselves, but Lalonde needs to be like, listen, if we don't get 15 shots per period, bag skate the next practice.
I feel like it might be a lack of confidence at this point. Like, it might be the latter that you're kind of alluding to here. Mm-hmm. That, and I think Lalonde just lost the team.
I don't think he's talking to him. We had the same thing with Blashill. He just doesn't seem to be... I don't think we need a John Tortorella kind of personality, even though John Tortorella probably would do a pretty good job.
You know, Tortorella's won a cup.
Yeah.
It's more than Lalonde can say.
This is true. Well, no, Lalonde has...
Well, as an assistant, yeah.
Yeah.
Keyword, as an assistant.
As an assistant. As we've seen, sometimes being an assistant does not translate very well.
No, we've seen that. Hi, Dave Lewis.
Poor Dave. I was so much on the Barry Smith train that they announced David Smith. I'm like, all right, let's see how it does. And then, yeah, that didn't pan out very well. But, I mean, he was another guy. He was just too buddy-buddy with the players. He was too close to them. And now he had to be the boss. He had to take over for Scotty Bowman.
Okay? The greatest coach of all time.
Yes, that's some big shoes to fill. And I'm not talking about his weight, folks. But, I mean, yeah, Lalonde seems to be always smiling. Not that I have a problem with people smiling and being happy, but when your team is like this, you don't need to be smiling. You need to take the attitude of more Rick Tocchet. The Vancouver Canucks have underperformed, and he took to the press and says, it's on me. It's my fault. I didn't have the team ready. This fan base deserves better, and they will get better. Lalonde's just like, well, you know, just bounces didn't go our way.
Yep, that's our Uncle Fester, unfortunately. And
Newsy, you need get in there, kick a few trash cans, you know, send a message to some of these people.
And I don't necessarily know that he's not doing that behind the scenes, but it certainly doesn't seem to show in the way that that team has just been so lackluster. Well, also, for what it's worth, with Vancouver and Taka doing what they're doing, they're only 5 points ahead of us in the standings.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and they have a pretty decent team. They got one of the Hughes brothers. There's like 17 Hughes brothers, so I have no idea.
At least, I mean...
Their bill must be huge.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's the team, like, you have no excuses because you've got Quinn Hughes. I mean, you've got JT Miller, who has stepped away at the moment.
Yeah.
Pettersson, who has been...
lackluster.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team really has been. I mean, I don't think anyone's got more than, like... Well, Pettersson's got 6 goals and 7 assists through 18 games. I don't think they have anyone who has more than 6 goals this season.
But on Pettersson's level...
Which, for context, you have 2 guys on this team, at least, who've scored more than 6 goals this season. On the Red Wings, a team that's not scoring worth a damn right now.
Right.
Meanwhile, Vancouver, no one can seem to get it together.
But that's very un-Pettersson-like,
it is.
Isn't it? I mean, this is probably the lowest of his career. I mean, he's only been in the league for, what... Five. I don't know, time flies. He could have been there for 20 years.
He hasn't been that long because you'll remember on this show when he came into the league, I picked him to be Rookie of the Year.
You wouldn't shut up about him.
I haven't shut up about it since.
Why don't you two get a room?
Because you know what? I'm just so... You know, it's not very often I get to be so damn right about things. And today, I actually do get to be right about it. So, you know what? I'm going to take full advantage of this.
So, looking at that roster, Rick Tocchet, he made the right move. I'm sure it was tough on him to go to the press because, you know, Canadian hockey press, they're not the most gentle human beings.
No, they're not.
For him to say, it's on me, it's my fault, I mean... That's enough to get you fired right there. But Rick Tocchet, we saw him play as a Philadelphia Flyer. He knows grit, if I could steal from Dan Campbell for a little bit. He knows grit. He knows what he's got the cojones.
He does. And Lalonde just seems to be sorely lacking that. And I think it's part of why he just lost this team and why I think I know that the Wings traditionally don't do that sort of thing. I get that, but I feel like it's time.
Well, I don't
fire the man out of a cannon and bring on Fedorov.
Bring on Fedorov. I mean, Montgomery's available.
He is. We'll talk about it next.
All right.
Here's Bia Badoobie at Solid State Radio. Gaslight Anthem at Solid State Radio. And now it's time for our favorite thing we do on this show, making fun of Boston sports teams because they're just so easy to pick on lately.
I love how we always have favorite things we do on this show.
There's a lot of favorite things, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Montgomery, he's out as head coach of the Boston Bruins.
Kind of hilarious, I'm not going to lie.
Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, showed him the door.
So I have two kind of question statements on this. For one, he has, last I checked, Montgomery has like the best record in the league since he took over as head coach of that team.
In 184 games, the Bruins lost just 41 times in regulation under Montgomery.
And you're still firing this guy, kicking him to the curb.
Cam Neely, since he's been vice president or president of the Boston Bruins, has now fired his third Jack Adams winning coach.
Also, how do Don Sweeney and Cam Neely still have jobs?
I don't know, because everybody looks at the coach. They see him. They see him behind the bench. There's a lot of rumors of stuff floating around, and one of the rumors coming around that was that Montgomery lost the room. And Cam Neely came out and said, Don Sweeney, excuse me, came out and said, no, that's not the reason. You know, if you're the GM and you let the coach save a little face and say, yeah, he lost the room. Yeah, that's simple. It just wasn't working out. No, Sweeney's like, no, that's not it.
Definitely not that.
I mean.
Was he drinking? Was he on the sauce again?
Well, yeah, that was my next thing was. Because he lost his job in, was it 2019, coaching the Dallas Stars?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Boston coach Jim Montgomery led the Bruins to the greatest regular season in NHL history. He was fired Tuesday, and general manager Don Sweeney said in a news release announcing the move, Jim Montgomery is a very good NHL coach and an even better person. Our team's inconsistency in performance in the first 20 games of this season has been concerning and below how the Bruins want to reward our fans. And then they promote Joe Sacco, who was head of coach for the Avalanche. Boo. Montgomery, 55, was fired 20 games into his third season in Boston a day after a 5-1 loss to Columbus. I guess if you lose to Columbus, that's going to cost you your job. What do the Wings play Columbus? We want to look that up for me. Columbus is the coach killer. I mean, everyone goes through struggles, he said, whether in life or your team, that's what life's about. How do you pick yourself up? It's not how hard you fall. It's how quickly you pick yourself up. That's great. That's a great motivational
beautiful
poster, but
absolutely inspiring.
We kind of want to know what's going on. And they were really kind of hush-hush about everything.
Also, I don't feel like the current state of things falls as much on Jim Montgomery as it does on Sweeney, because there are moves that probably could have and should have been made this offseason.
Linus Ullmark?
Yeah. The Ullmark thing. You never really effectively replaced Patrice Bergeron. Like,
right.
There are things you could have done that would have probably have prevented you from being in the position to have to fire a third coach in 7 years,
right.
And they just kind of chose not to do any of them. By the way, set your clocks, people. January 3rd, when Derek Lowell will be getting fired. We play Columbus on the 2nd.
Oh boy, great.
Set your clocks and make your plans accordingly.
January 6th. They will be announcing Sergei Fedorov as the next head coach of your Detroit Red Wings.
God, I hope so.
So I don't know. I mean, you got to kind of wonder. I mean, it triggers the mind a little bit when you know that he got fired from Dallas for, you know, I believe it was alcoholism, what the unofficial word was.
After the Dallas firing, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's that here. Like, everything I'm indicating is that they're really just not happy with the results on the ice. And it's interesting to note that this is a decision that was clearly made long before Monday's game. At no point was the front office giving him any kind of vote of confidence after seemingly every press conference where he's going out there and being just, you know, lashed to death by the local media there.
Yeah.
And like no one was saying anything. Like it seemed kind of like this was kind of predetermined at least a couple weeks prior.
Yep. I mean, how tough is the Boston Bruins base, huh? I mean, when you have, it was like your winning percentage was 712, and you still lose your job.
True. But, man, it, at the same point in time, I think there's still some blame, perhaps some lingering hard feelings over, you'll remember when they lost that series to the Panthers back in the 22-23 playoffs. And like you loaded that club that year. Like, you kind of screwed yourselves in the future in the salary cap of the process.
Yep.
And then every move Montgomery made was the absolute wrong one, and they just never really seemingly recovered from that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, Sweeney didn't help him at all. With, not like the aforementioned non-replacement of Bergeron. The problem with the goaltending.
Yeah, that's not exactly.
You had the 1A and 1B dream goaltenders.
You had the dream team, and you screwed it up.
Yeah,
like
screwed it up.
You could have had that for a long time, for a while to come. And yeah, you decided to, you know, we have to make the call on one of these guys. As it turns out, we picked the wrong one.
Yeah, look at that. Who would have thought?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
I just this is a bet that seems like it's been made for quite a while. Honestly.
So, zeroing back to a previous topic, if the Wings were to take a flyer on Jim Montgomery to coach the Red Wings, how would you feel about that?
I wouldn't hate it. I don't think I would hate it at all. It's not like he hasn't managed to do some pretty decent things as a head coach. I mean, he does. The one thing he doesn't have is a Stanley Cup.
Right.
But he's gotten you about as close as you're going to get. Short of that, like, he got, with Dallas, he got them to, got that team to the second round. He got a couple playoff appearances out of the Bruins, although ultimately mismanagement kind of cost him there. I think he'd be an upgrade over Lalonde. I don't know. He's not the guy who's going to win you a cup, though, I don't think.
No.
You know, I have to say, I don't think he's the guy who's ever going to win you. Like, he won a national championship in college, but it really hasn't, for whatever reason, it hasn't entirely translated. Like, he went from getting a playoff appearance in Dallas to then getting sacked. He had never he'd never missed the playoffs in a season where he actually got to finish out said season in the NHL. But I don't know. For whatever reason, he just wears out his welcome rather quickly.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe it's just not, he's one of those guys where the college does not translate to being a, he did win a Jack Adams trophy to his credit, but.
Was that when he was coaching the Bees, or was that when?
That was with the Bruins.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, this part of the program is being brought to you by Reynolds Aluminum Foil. when you think the government's after your mind, turn to my Reynolds Aluminum Foil. I just think maybe he is the same demons that got him booted from Dallas is the same thing here.
I don't want to sit here and impugn the man's character, because he really did, like, it was made very public after the fact that there was a wake-up call that needed to be had, and Montgomery himself said as much. I don't think necessarily that that's what happened here. And I've looked in all the reports and things, and absolutely nobody is saying it has anything to do with any relapse of that sort.
Good. Okay. I hope not. I hope the guy lands on his feet, because, I mean, if he had his demons and he fought above them, I want to see the guy do well.
Right.
I'm in his corner.
Yeah, I would love to, you know, see maybe he comes back and he does end up being getting it together somewhere else. But right now, I'm not convinced that that's going to necessarily happen anytime soon. Like I said, he'd be an upgrade over the loan, but he's not going to be the guy that gets you a cop.
Makes sense.
He's that guy you bring in to kind of start, you know, turn your team around. And then when you're really ready to contend and he's gotten you just as far as he's going to get you, that's when you can him and bring in a Gallant or something like that.
Yeah. I want Gerard Gallant.
I know. I do too, Adam. I do too.
I do too.
Here's the AOL Nation at Solid State Radio. Monsters and Men at your local alternative Solid State Radio. I didn't plan on this turning into Hockey Hour today, but it just kind of has.
It's kind of made it that way. When are we just going to call the NHL Winter Classic the NHL Blackhawks Winter Classic? Because lo and behold, oh my gosh, would you look at that? The Blackhawks are in the Winter Classic yet again.
Shocking. Simply shocking. Stunning, really.
I want to say it's like their sixth one. They're taking on the St. Louis Blues, who've, you know, I'm not one of those people, well, if they haven't been there before, they shouldn't, but, you know, because I know it's about ratings. I get it, but it's, I don't know. There's a rivalry there, and I do like the St. Louis Blues, and I'd like to see them beat the living daylights out of Chicago. I don't even know if it's in Chicago. I think it's in St. Louis.
Is it? Oh, maybe.
I believe so. And they just released their sweaters for the event, and the Blues sweater, kind of like them. They kind of went with they kind of steered away from the musical note and just went with like St. Louis on the side. But they went back to the blue when they first started. I'm showing Sean the picture right now. They kind of went back to that, like.
I mean, I don't hate it. It could be. I've seen worse Blues jerseys.
They remind me of the Charlestown Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, there is that. Look, that's fair. I can accept that.
And, oh, yeah, and they're playing Wrigley Field.
Of course.
And, which they did that before with the Wings. But
yeah. Well, yeah, apparently Chicago just gets to have all the games.
All the Winter Classics. Okay.
You get one Connor Bedard, and apparently you just get to do whatever you want now. That's the rules, I guess.
You have to go play outside. Fine. Okay, whatever. But that's okay. I mean, the Wings get their Stadium Series matchup. Ooh, March 1st against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't think they've done an outdoor show over at Ohio State Stadium. I don't know what that's called.
Is it Buckeye Stadium?
I think it's just called the Toilet Bowl.
Should be.
Something like that. But, yeah, the NHL has, ever since the Blue Jackets have entered the league back in 2000, they've really been trying to push, really force this rivalry between Detroit and Columbus, because they're thinking, oh, well, it works in college football. It should translate to hockey. It doesn't.
I'm sorry. Nobody else cares about, like, no one cares about the Columbus Blue Jackets, up to and including, I'm pretty sure, people who live in Columbus.
Columbus is like, we got a hockey team? That's still a thing? Well, good for them.
They pay more attention to their soccer team than they do to the Blue Jackets, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're the Columbus Daffodils or something like that.
Oh, something like that. Who knows? I don't really pay attention. You think I pay attention to soccer,
Ladies
Adam?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Columbus Optimism.
because it is an MLS team, it has to be. They have to have a stupid name like that. Yeah. That's the rules. I believe those are the bylaws in MLS. Like, your team name must be something stupid that no one would possibly ever consider calling a team in any other sports league.
Yeah. The whooping crane, being the endangered species that it is, we are the Columbus Whooping Cranes.
You can't even name yourself after an animal. It has to be like some sort of, it basically has to be like a feeling or a metaphorical construct. The wild, the dream,
the fury,
the indescribable rage. You know, I can at least get down with the indescribable rage as a hockey team. I guess I should apologize to the Columbus indescribable rage.
Yeah, indescribable. Welcome to the pitch, the Columbus road rage. They just all come in cars and crashing into each other.
You know what? I would watch that. I would watch the hell out of that.
The Columbus Indignation.
That would actually be a pretty...
Brought to you by... And they're going up against the Boston Misappropriation. They're... Woo!
The Boston Misappropriation.
I don't know. I'm really going off the rails. I apologize.
This segment went off the rails before we started doing it. But no, like I really don't need any more of that in my life. I don't need stop trying to make the Wings Blue Jackets rivalry a thing.
It's not going
to
happen.
Nobody cares.
You know what makes a big rivalry is when
the other team's relevant.
Good. They're good and relevant. And yeah. Have never been good.
They've never been good, and I think they were only relevant for about the 5 seconds that Torts was their coach, and literally no other time in their history.
Exactly.
Sorry, not buying it. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. You know, they say judge not lest ye be judged or some nonsense like that, but here we don't really care about being judged.
Well, you're quoting the Bible.
So if anything, that makes us the perfect people to judge some people. So are you ready to do a little bit of Am I the A-hole?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we'll set this one up. Am I the A-hole for kicking my sister-in-law out of my house?
Here's where I'm like, no, she shouldn't be there if you don't want her there. Now you're going to tell her, she's a quadriplegic.
No, if anything, I feel like this wasn't a severe enough punishment. So here's my sister-in-law, her husband, and her 14-year-old kid are staying with me and my husband for the next week because there's a family funeral, and all hotels were booked out for a bluegrass festa and a King Brown concert.
Oh, that hotel must be hell on earth.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay at the Shining Hotel. I'd rather have blood pouring out of the elevator as opposed to somebody on a banjo at 3 in the morning.
I'm not, which would be worse, the hotel that's booked for the Bluegrass Festival or the one for the Kane Brown concert? Because now it's a bunch of city yeehaws who are, you know, pretending like they're, you know, I'm real country because I listen to dudes who, you know, rap about trucks over trap beats.
Right.
We have a big farmhouse, so it's not a big deal, but my sister-in-law is very opinionated. My sister-in-law and my husband have different fathers. Her dad died from liver failure 10 years ago, and his death date just passed not too long ago. He was a massive alcoholic, and due to this, my sister-in-law turns into a bitch whenever she sees anyone drinking, especially people in her family.
Yeah, well, there's people who have died in car accidents. You can't be waving your finger at people who drive.
Well, my husband, who isn't a big drinker, went out with friends last night. It's kind of a last hurrah because we'll be welcoming our first daughter into the world in about a month, and he wanted to celebrate his becoming a dad. I encouraged him to go. I arranged for his Uber back home, and he came in around 11 p.m. last night. He was very drunk. He walked in the door singing Let's Stay Together by Al Green, dancing, spinning me around the living room floor and some very sloppy walls, and laughing the whole time as he was tripping over himself.
That's awesome.
Now, my dad's an alcoholic, too, so I get it, but honestly, I was having an effing blast with my drunk husband.
Yeah.
Sister-in-law comes into the room and just starts laying into my husband about him drinking, screaming about how he's going to turn out just like dad, etc., etc. At this point, my husband's mood is dead. He's crying. I lost it. I told her, how can you turn it out like a POS when that POS isn't his father? Get out of my house right now and don't ever come back.
Whoa.
She immediately went quiet and said she couldn't take her daughter out this time of night and that no hotels had vacancy. And my husband knew better than to drink around her, and I told her, that's not my problem. Leave. The whole family is pissed at me and my husband right now for both him drinking in front of my sister-in-law and me kicking them out at midnight. Am I the a-hole? I never said her daughter or husband had to leave. I told them she had to. She chose to wake them up and drag them with her after she caused problems.
you're not the a-hole for asking her to leave. I think at that moment, I think you got kind of upset. I think there's a time and a place to count to 10 and say, you know, let's think about this for a second. But I mean, at the same time, the sister-in-law needs to read the room. I mean, obviously it doesn't sound like the daddy-to-be has a problem with alcohol. He had a good time. He was home by 11 p.m., which, by the way, was.
Right? Good Lord. What are you even doing? Do you even alcoholic, bro?
I mean, yeah, obviously he doesn't. He came home. He was sloshed, so he probably had like 3.5 beers. And he's singing Al Green, dancing with his wife. What was her problem? Was it because her husband was passed out and asleep and not dancing with her? Or, I mean, obviously she's going through some grief things. She may need to talk to a grief counselor and deal with this. But chewing a happy couple in a loving moment because of it, yeah, that is she overstepped a lot of lines. Now, should the writer kick her out right then and there? I mean, no, it'd be like, you know what? If you want to stay here, you're going to have to mind your own business or blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about this in the morning. And then, you know, give them the options. Listen, yeah, this is the way we're going to live our life. You are in our house. You are under our roof. You will listen. You will abide by my rules, little Missy.
Damn right.
You guys came here voluntarily. This is how we're going to live our lives. If you don't like it, you may leave, but we're going to live our lives the way we intended. Is she the a-hole for wanting her out? No. Is she the a-hole for wanting to kick her out in the middle of the night? Yes.
Nah, no, I don't think she was an a-hole for that either. like your husband just come home, like, or your her brother, I guess, come home and he's having, you know, a nice little romantic moment with his wife, and, you know, actually having fun and enjoying himself before he goes and has to kind of snap back to, you know, the reality of whatever right. other family issue they're dealing with. Okay. And you come home and you come out of your room and lambaste him for that. Go F yourself, you uppity bitch.
No, I agree with all that. I'm just talking about timing. The timing.
I don't care.
At that point, she's going to throw her out. And she said her family didn't have to leave, but, you know, she decided, the sister-in-law decided to go all extra and wake everybody up. If I got to leave, I'm taking the whole family with me.
I mean, you basically
where'd they
just
go?
I mean, you basically just came out haranguing the man for having the audacity to have a good time as a guest in our home. Yeah, you can go kick rocks. Go sleep in your car. Not my problem anymore.
So I am of the idea.
Be lucky you didn't get jaw-jacked, quite frankly.
She is, the writer is 50% a-hole, 50% in the right.
That's Adam's interpretation of it. Mine is that she's 100% in the right, which I believe averages out to about 75%, so I feel like you're good.
We'll go with the law of averages, and yeah.
I feel like that's fair.
She's lucky she didn't get jaw-jacked.
Like, honestly, you know, like
a grieving daughter. I can't believe you're going to handle that.
Now, to be fair to that, dude died 10 years ago.
Was it 10
years? 10 years ago. That's what it said in the post.
I didn't get that part.
Like, you're still grieving 10 years later over your dad conking out because his liver just couldn't hold out anymore. You're still 10 years later so hung up on this that you feel the need to berate your brother for having the audacity to have fun. Yeah, quite frankly, the wife should have just bitch slapped you across the face. Terrible human being. Wow. Go out and sleep in your goddamn car. Go back to where you came from and never darken our doorstep again. Well, go hang out at the hotel with all the yeehaws gearing up for the Kane Brown show.
Yeah, no drinking there.
I guess I have to apologize to Kane Brown now, which I really don't want to. I don't feel like he deserves it, but I guess here we're going to do it.
So, meanwhile, here is this ruining the buzz of this poor guy who's about to become a father, having a great time. He's like, well, I think I just saw my wife clock, punch the living smoke out of my wife, my sister.
The sister had it coming.
And now I got to deal with this. Effing great.
I fail to see the issue here.
14-year-old go, what's going on out here? Yeah. The writer's like, you want some, bitch?
Like, I'm sorry, if you have the audacity to scream at me in my own home when I'm letting you sleep in our guest bedroom, then you kind of get what you deserve from there. I have absolutely no sympathy whatsoever for this lady. You're still, you know, crying, you know, 10 years after your dad passed it because he was an alcoholic, you know, damn drunk, probably, like, died in a cardboard box behind a 7-Eleven somewhere. Wow. And you're sitting here, having the audacity to tell us, man, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to have fun in a way that I don't personally approve of. Yeah. Go F yourself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow, he just went extra on that. He probably died in a puddle of his own vomit behind a 7-Eleven in a cardboard box. He was living in a van down by the river.
He probably started drinking because he couldn't stand what a load you were. You were such a pain in the ass to be around. It's the only way you could possibly stomach being your dad.
Yeah, here's father to be in the middle of lines and verses of let's stay together. Yeah, dad drank because you were a bitch. Let's stay together.
I feel like that's fair.
He hated your daughter.
He hated said, your daughter. He hated everything
he
about
said,
you.
He said your daughter was ugly.
I don't think I've overreacted here in the slightest.
His last words were like, glad I don't have to see my fucking daughter again.
Glad I don't have to deal with that bitch anymore. God.
And then he conked out.
The check liver light came on, and he's gone.
It was just like the cartoons. He just folded his hands, sent back, and a lily just popped out of his chest.
Damnedest thing. It's... I don't think we can top this. No. Let's just hit a break. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio.
it's over. Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon and turn things over to a full hour of local,
Original music, Michigan-made music at its best.
Is that what you do now?
Yeah, I'll be kicking things off with Stevie Wonder. I've got Generation Empire, who will also be my guest on Friday. Jason Pizek and the Brotherhood, and Cash O'Reilly.
Good stuff. Can't wait. Should be a fun time all the way around. Oh, bring the kids. Well, actually, maybe put the kids to bed. But, you know.
It'll be 11 o'clock, so if your kids are still awake, you're an irresponsible adult.
Right. Well, actually, no. It'll be 6 o'clock because Sessions is up next
Here
on your local alternative Solid State Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be in well. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.